The other day, I was driving here in the wonderful town of Oakland. It was late at night. I had finished playing volleyball, and it was probably 1 in the morning or so. Yeah, we play volleyball late. I don't know. So I'm driving, and one of the worst things that you can see when you're driving, I don't know if you guys can identify with me, is flashing blue lights in that rear view mirror. You know what I'm saying? How many of you guys know what I'm talking about? That's a horrible feeling. It's like this sinking feeling you get right after you eat Taco Bell. Same kind of feeling. And it's like, oh man, I just spent some money I wasn't planning to spend. You know? Like, that could have gone so much better had I just stopped at the stoplight like you're supposed to, you know? And I stopped, but it was one of those, like, rolling stick shift stops, you know what I'm saying? So the police officer pulls me over, and I'm spiritual, so I'm praying, God, please let this guy have some mercy on me. Please, I really don't feel like spending all this money right now, and traffic school, God, you know traffic school is boring. Like, please let this police officer have mercy on me. Well, thankfully, he must have been reading his Bible because he had mercy on me. It was great. The sinking feeling that you get when you see the blue lights is nothing compared to the wonderful feeling you get when you hear the word warning. Right? You're like, I'll take that. Yes, can I have 3 warnings, please? I would love to have a warning from you, police officer. So I was very, very fortunate. Today we're actually going to be talking about our Oakland police officer friend. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. I promise you, if I ever see that police officer and he trips and falls or he needs $5 for gas, I'm going to help the guy out. I can promise you that. So that's what we're talking about today. Over the last few weeks, Renaud has been with us in the Sermon on the Mount. It is the sermon that Jesus really lays down for us what it looks like to be a follower of Christ. And the Sermon on the Mount begins with the Beatitudes. And as we've been traveling over the last few weeks, we've learned that the Beatitudes are not something that we just learn to do and we check off our Christian list, but it's something that we become. As Christ begins to work within us, as the work of God begins to take shape in our lives, the Beatitudes begin to be something that we are, not just something that we do. So as we dive in today to what it looks like to be people who are merciful, who will be shown mercy, let's keep that in mind. Let's turn in our Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 15. We're going to go to page 726 of the Mosaic Bibles, Luke chapter 15. I'll start in verse 11. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had 2 sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of the country who sent him to the fields to feed pigs." It's not going so well for this guy. "He longed to fill his stomach with the pods and that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. Have mercy on me.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. You know, as we take a look at what it is to be people who are merciful, first, we have to be shown mercy by our Father in heaven. In order for us to be people who can extend mercy, true mercy, real mercy, we have to first experience mercy from our Father in heaven. Verse 25, meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has come back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. He answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so that I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered off your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him? My son, the father said, you are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. No matter where you sit today, all of us are one of these two sons. Every person here is one of these two sons. Either we're the son that recognizes that we have gone away from our Father, squandered everything that he gave to us, living for ourselves, and we come to our senses and recognize that we need our Father. We come back to him and he showers us with mercy and with grace and with love and forgiveness. And it's an incredible, beautiful thing. The other option, if we are sons, is that we think that all along we've been doing everything right. We think all along that we have done all of the things and somehow deserve the love, the affection, and the mercy of our Father. And so when we see someone who has failed, fallen, been down and out and seen the messy nature of what sin does in someone's life, we can look at that person and say, they don't deserve mercy. They don't deserve the love of the Father. I do. And as Jesus whispers to us in the Beatitudes, he says it this way. He says, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Further on in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus even goes so far to say, forgive those who have sinned against you. For if you do not forgive, your Father won't forgive you. And so we come up to a curious dilemma. We see that we are people who are in need of mercy. We see that we're people who are in need of forgiveness. But the dilemma is, do we extend mercy to other people in order to earn mercy from God? Or do we extend mercy to people because we have been shown mercy? Let's turn in our Bibles to another story, and this story will illustrate what I'm talking about a little bit further. It's in Matthew chapter 18 on page 683. Matthew 18, verse 21. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents." This was a ton of money, more than anyone could ever repay. "Who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity," had mercy on him, "canceled the debt and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. Not a lot of money. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you back.'" That sounds familiar. "But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay back the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said. 'I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' Where am I? Verse what? Thank you guys very much. It's a good idea. Don't look at your notes and then back to the Bible. Sometimes that can mess you up. All right. In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart." You know, the issue here is not that the master was unwilling to forgive the first servant until he forgave his other debtors. Follow me? So this servant who owed the master more than he could have ever paid, a debt huge, it would have taken selling his family off to begin to repay the debt. The master forgave the servant of that debt with really no strings attached. The master didn't just forgive the debt and say, "If you forgive all of your debts, or if you do this, or if you do that, I will have mercy on you." The master simply had mercy because the servant begged, "Have mercy on me." And it was in the nature of the master to have mercy on his servant. Where things go wrong is when the servant went to the other servant who owed him just a little bit of money. And because he forgot how much she had been forgiven, because that didn't sink in deeply enough, he decided he was gonna squeeze every penny he could out of his servant, mercilessly throwing him in prison until he could do so. And then the master found out. And it was bad. It was bad. You see, as you and I walk through life, whether we are the prodigal son that's gone out and done all the crazy things that we could imagine to do, or whether or not we're the elder brother who is self-righteous and thinks we've got all of our stuff together, the fact of the matter is all of us are debtors to God. Every single person here is a debtor to God. Why? Why? Because all of us, myself very included, have sinned and we've fallen short of the glory of God. And the Bible goes on to say that the wages, the penalty, the payment for our sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. Each one of us who have recognized the sin in our lives and in our hearts and have begged for the mercy of God have been given mercy in Christ. See, the wages of our sin was death, and Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sin so that God could have mercy on us. And so for you and I to walk through life, refusing mercy to those who need it from us. How wrong is that? How incredibly wrong is that? I mean, could you imagine I'm pulling away from my encounter with the nice people at the Oakland Police Department? And as I drive further down the road, I see someone else pulled over. And, you know, I roll down my window and, ha ha, dummy, you know, you lawbreaker. Hey, give him a big ticket. You know, like, could you imagine that? And yet, how often do I don't know about you, but how often do I walk through life and I see people caught in sin, or I see people who have wronged me, and how often do I think to myself, they'll get what they deserve? They'll get what they deserve. But yet when I look in the mirror, I think, thank you, Jesus, that I don't get what I deserve. Right? And so Jesus calls out to us from the side of a mountain 2,000 years ago. And he calls out, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. There's a guy named David. You guys have probably heard of him. He was one of the great kings in Israel. And God actually goes so far as to call David a man that is after his own heart. And David, just like you and me, he did some stupid stuff in his life. And he needed mercy from God. And in Psalm 51, he cries out to God for mercy. And if you want to turn there, it's on page 398 of our Bibles. The heading to this psalm says, for the director of music, a psalm of David. When the prophet Nathan came to him after David had committed adultery with Bathsheba. David, being caught in his sin, cries out to God, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Surely you desire in the inner parts, you teach me wisdom in the inmost place. Cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. How do we as Christians become merciful? How do we become merciful? We receive mercy. We receive mercy from God. We recognize that the wages of our sin really is death. Eternal death. But that the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. And as we receive mercy, as we cry out to God for mercy, as David did, as the prodigal son did, as we cry out to God for mercy and we receive it, then we go into our everyday lives walking in mercy. You see, it doesn't make sense to hold other people to the same sins and to the same mistakes that they've made when you yourself walk forgiven and with a clear conscience. When I wake up every morning and I know that the mercy of God is new for me every day, it doesn't make sense for me to hold a grudge against my friend, against my enemy. How do we become merciful? We receive mercy. You know, Renaud, one of his favorite verses is in Romans 12, and we're going to turn there because it's good. It's on page 788. Romans 12. This is Paul writing to the church in Rome, and he's talking about the mercy of God, and he says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." And Paul says it so well here. He says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you." What Paul is saying is, in view of the incredible mercy that God has extended us, offer ourselves to God and then let's think of ourselves no more highly than we ought to. You and I, we need to realize the mercy of God that's been given and demonstrated to us in the cross of Jesus. And in view of that, we treat one another with deference, with love, with care, with mercy. We look at ourselves with sober judgment. I mean, what does that mean? How drunk a judgment would it be for us to look at our own lives and thank God that we're pardoned and then hold our brother and sister hostage with their sin? In view of God's mercy, be merciful, and you will experience mercy. Becoming merciful is a fruit of being shown mercy. You know, in James, he writes, faith without works is dead. Well, being shown mercy without becoming merciful means you were never really shown mercy in the first place. You didn't get it. And so as I look in the mirror and I look at my life and I look around at the people that I walk daily with and the things that they do that frustrate me, that get on my nerves, that I need to forgive them for, I gotta view God's mercy in my life and extend that same mercy to the people around me. I pray that as we leave this place, that we wouldn't leave this place thinking, okay, I gotta go show mercy to people. But that we would leave this place and view of God's mercy. If we keep our eyes there, everything else is taken care of. We will, by nature, show mercy to one another. And then no longer, at least here at this church, please, no longer would Christians be known by the way that they judge each other and by the way that they judge the world, but they would be known by the way that they love each other. And that's what Jesus said. People will know that you're really my followers by the way that you love each other.